Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. Stand up for your country. Much to tell you about this evening. A lot of important things happening, and we'll get to them all. The media spin, of course, is that Donald Trump did okay in New Hampshire, where the reality is he did very well. New England is not MAGA country. From Southern Connecticut to Holton, Maine, there's not a state that will go for Donald Trump next time around. There are a lot of reasons why. It's not as liberal New England as you would think it would be. Massachusetts, of course, is Vermont. But Donald Trump's not a favorite son there, and he gets a pretty resounding win, and that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Final numbers, Trump beat Haley by 11 points. Not a bad showing for the ambassador. She did fine. And at 8:19 Eastern time, she stepped to the podium. Go.
They know Trump is the only Republican in the country who Joe Biden can defeat. You can't fix the mess if you don't win an election. A Trump nomination is a Biden win and a Kamala Harris presidency.
Go Trump.
I defeat Biden handily.
We want you, Nikki.
With Donald Trump, you have one bout of chaos after another. This court case, that controversy, this tweet, that senior moment. You can't fix Joe Biden's chaos with Republican chaos.
Okay, so the message is that Nikki Haley leads in the polls over Joe Biden. That's why you should support her. But the Republicans in New Hampshire rejected that message and supported Donald Trump. That's the truth. So about an hour after Nikki Haley said those words, Donald Trump gave his victory speech. Go.
And, you know, we have to do what's good for our party. And she was up and I said, wow, she's doing like a speech like she won. She didn't win. She lost. And, you know, last week we had a little bit of a problem. And if you remember, Ron was very upset because she ran up and she pretended she won Iowa.
Okay. That's okay. I expected Trump to say worse things about Nikki Haley, and he shouldn't, because the nomination is his. She's not going to beat him. And by staying in the race, which is her prerogative, absolutely, she helps Joe Biden, because 4 weeks, and that's what it'll be, of diminishing Donald Trump doesn't do the Republicans any good. Now, Nevada coming up, she's not even competing, Nikki Haley. So Trump will get all those delegates. South Carolina is a winner-take-all state. So whoever wins the Republican primary will get all the delegates. There's just no way that Nikki Haley can win. Now, why she's staying in, I mean, there are a couple of speculative reasons. She thinks maybe something will get worse in the legal realm, or something will befall Donald Trump, and then she'll be standing there as a second. I don't think there's any chance she gets VP, because Trump does not like her very much. Now, what you can expect is Donald Trump being attacked over a debate. That's what is coming. And I had a debate with Sean Hannity on the radio today. I think you'd find it very interesting. And it's on BillO'Reilly.com. We posted it. I say Trump should debate. Hannity says he should not. So my case is this, that to me, if I'm debating Nikki Haley and I've got Trump's record 4 years in the Oval Office, there's no way she touches me in a policy debate. There's just no way. Because Nikki Haley has no policy experience at the national level, state level, but not national. Now, if Haley starts to slime him and you're this, you're that, he does a Ronald Reagan. Trump does a Ronald Reagan. He just kind of floats above it and says, is this really what you want to do, madam? Don't you want to stay on the issues here? Is that really what you want to do? Is that making you look good? There's a million ways to disarm that, and they're not complicated ways. And the amount of pressure that's going to be put on Donald Trump to debate is going to be substantial. Now, the MAGA people will say, oh, no. But remember, Trump's got to persuade people who aren't MAGA, who may not like him very much, to come over and vote for him because Joe Biden is so bad. A debate like this gets a lot of eyeballs, independent voters. Okay, it would be a big event. And Trump, he doesn't even have to really answer Nikki Haley very much. He just goes after Biden. This is built in, all right, exposure for Donald Trump. Because the independent voters aren't watching the MAGA rallies. They're not watching the town halls. They're just not watching. This they would watch. This is a vehicle to get your message out to independent voters. And I know Trump, as you know, for longer. I don't think he fears Nikki Haley. And I was the guy who told them not to debate, the five of them. I called it a cacophony of chaos. Christie, Ramaswamy, whoever, you don't want to be up there. That's not going to do you any good. But now it will, because you don't debate Haley per se. You go after Biden. Bang, bang, bang. And finally, well, Hannity brought the issue up. Well, it wouldn't be fair. I said, no. The Trump campaign can insist that they have approval of the moderator. They can approve the moderator. It's a Republican debate. And he is the front runner. So he can approve who the moderator would be. And Hannity goes, well, I'll do it. Okay. Fine with me. All right, Hannity, be fair to Haley, I believe. And Trump should be able to approve Hannity as one of his biggest supporters, right? So I don't see the downside, but I do know that there is just going to be this surge of debate. Now, there is one final point I want to make here, that in any kind of a debate, before any words are even uttered, the press will declare Nikki Haley the winner, because that's what the press is. And so you got to deal with that. But there's no way to mitigate the press at this point. And the good news is that most Americans know how corrupt the press is, and it doesn't matter anymore what they say. Doesn't matter. LA Times going out of business. I'll tell you about that in a moment. So anyway, that's what you'll see. The crescendo for a debate. I don't know what the Trump people will do. I know what I would do if I were Donald Trump. got to get those independent people over. You have to do that. And if you could peel off 20, 25% of independents who didn't vote for you last time, that's a landslide, because Biden's not going to get near what he got last time on a popular vote. That's the memo.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day, and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Okay, so I had to. I was on News Nation last night with my analysis. I hope you saw it. If not, we have it posted on BillO'Reilly.com. I'm going to be on again tonight with Chris Cuomo. But I had to watch, you know, and I'm floating around. I had speed dial on the Knicks, the Islanders, CNN, Fox News, and News Nation. I had five. Massive headache. So I noticed a theme on the cable news operations. Roll it.
Right. So we'll wait and see how this plays out tonight.
We'll wait to see if Nikki Haley can pull out any surprises here tonight.
But is it too little, too late? We will have to wait and see.
We will wait and see at the end of the night.
And that's why we wait. We wait to see.
Yes, we wait to see. We wait and see. Now, these people are getting paid. Money is going there into their pockets to say, we'll wait and see. I could have given you 100 wait and sees. What did I give you? One, two, three, four, five. I give you five. I give you 100. We have to wait and see. Yes, we'll have to wait and see. I scolded Cuomo last night when his opening question to me was, what do you make of this? I went, what? What do I make of what? It was a presidential primary vote. What do you want to know? What do I make of it? This kind of trite nonsense has infected broadcast journalism now. I'm not even going to call it journalism anymore. Broadcasting. All right, these people, they get up there, they have no obligation to you to give you anything other than trite cliches. How many times at the end of the days did I hear yesterday? Oh, at the end of the day? The end of the day. Drives me nuts. Why does it drive me nuts? That's my neurosis, I think. I mean, I have standards that we oppose here on the No Spin News, which is why you're watching and listening. But why do I care with these people? It just drives me chalk. It's like that nails on that blackboard. Ah, let's wait and see. Okay. Let's bring in a guy who doesn't say wait and see. He's a pollster. He deals in facts. He deals in numbers. He's worked for the Trump campaign, and his name is John McLaughlin. He joins now from upstate New York. Headline for you. First of all, if I made any mistakes or said something ridiculous, please chastise me now. But headline for New Hampshire is?
Nice try, Nikki, but no cigar. So this was a one shot to ambush Trump, because you know New England really well, right? You used to be a reporter in Boston. Yep. And New Hampshire, half the voters, 44%, are undeclared, unaffiliated. It's now, New Hampshire used to be a pretty Republican state, and it's now a northern suburb of Boston. So you have all these independent voters who are, you know, a lot of them are closet Democrats. And you only have 28% Democrats, you have 28% Republicans. So we had a historic turnout of voters in the Republican primary yesterday. But it was because Nikki Haley, and she was supported by Biden supporters. She was supported by, you know, Never Trumpers. And they were driving out independents who really support Biden into the Republican primary. And that's why, instead of the usual 2-to-1 Republican to independent ratio, it was really a 50-50 ratio. And Trump still won by double digits. And, you know, that's a stunning blow for her, because she was, a couple of weeks ago, she was hoping to win. Then she was lowering it to within double digits. And is, by the way, this wait and see last night, they had exit polls. They knew Trump was a winner. They were hesitating calling because they wanted people to watch for a while. And
we all know.
Yeah. So
they were. And they don't know anyway. What you just said, they don't even know any of that. All right. These pundits, they're lazy. They get up there. The management tells them what they should say and they say it. But they're not like you. They're not analyzing who's voting, why they're voting, what the odds are that Nikki Haley would be successful. The key question today, on the morning after, is that Nikki Haley has to know, she is not going to defeat Donald Trump for the nomination. She also has to know that Donald Trump doesn't like her very much, so the odds of her being vice president are low. So why does she continue?
I don't know, because if you ask her, like, what state are you going to win? They can't tell you. They're not going to win any states, because I mean, just to give you one more statistic on New Hampshire, in our tracking, in our sample, and the campaign told me our numbers were dead on. We never released them, but internally they knew we were dead on. And Chris LaSavita and Susie Wiles told me it was exact, but we had 3 in 10 of the New Hampshire primary voters on the Republican side were former Democrat primary voters. They're not going to vote for Nikki Haley in November. They're not going to vote for Trump in November. They're going to vote for Biden. So we had that in New Hampshire. That's not going to happen in South Carolina. South Carolina is an open primary, but there's a Democrat primary with delegates, unlike New Hampshire. And then there's a Republican primary that's a pretty conservative Republican primary where Donald Trump is beating her in the polls right now.
Yeah, it's MAGA country, sure. And beating her by a lot. Now, I think she'll close the gap there a little bit. Got some money to spend, a familiar face. The local press in South Carolina will be deferential to Nikki Haley. She'll get decent press. And the national press is actually rooting for her. But it comes all down to this, that Donald Trump, in my opinion, shouldn't even bother with Nikki Haley anymore. He should be running against Biden and use a debate situation to go after Biden. I mean, a massive amount of exposure that he gets, and he can just swat Nikki away. He doesn't have to be rude either. And then directed at Biden.
You're right. Absolutely. Because that's how we got here. We got here pursuing Joe Biden as the worst president in the history of the United States, whether it's the border, whether it's wars, endless wars, whether it's the economy with inflation. That's how Donald Trump got here. His record as president is better than Joe Biden's. And that's why, by the way, we're ahead in the polls. Nikki Haley is not ahead of Joe Biden in the polls. Rasmussen reports she crashed in December. And Rasmussen reports last week had Trump up 8 and her down 2 against Joe Biden. So the voters know that we can beat Joe Biden. But on the other hand, Joe Biden knows it. And he's preparing through his third-party group, American Bridge, a $200 million campaign to attack Donald Trump in the battleground states.
Absolutely. That campaign, by the way, was in New Hampshire very quietly, pumping money for the people to go out and tell the unaligned voters to vote for Nikki Haley. They spend millions of dollars up there doing that. So you're right, I believe, that the Biden campaign knows it's going to be Trump. And do you have any idea, other than Trump's the devil, democracy's on the ballot, he's a fascist, he's Hitler, Is there any other strategy that they have to unveil that would surprise anybody?
Well, they've indicted the guy four times trying to make him the Nelson Mandela of America. Then they tried to knock us off the ballot. They've tried to confiscate his wealth. And now we got to deal with, okay, they're going to attack us and they're going to say we're for cutting Social Security, which is not true. That's 4 years as president. He refused to do it. And they're going to, you know, they'll come after us on abortion and they'll come after us on the usual Democrat issues. But Donald Trump, you know, in the meantime, it's his record. We had low inflation, growing economy. America was strong. You didn't have Putin attacking Ukraine. You didn't have Hamas terrorists attacking Israel. And you know, even crime in local areas, suburban areas, it's high because Joe Biden is such a weak and bad president. So
right. But the border is the big one. The border, you could run against Biden just on the border and beat him, I think. You don't even have to worry about 17% higher prices for essentials of life. You could just beat him on the border. Hey, John, thanks very much. We always appreciate your expertise. We will talk to you again soon, I hope. All right, Joe Biden is giving a speech to the United Auto Workers in D.C. today. And you should know that Democrats dominate unions in America because unions get a better deal from this free-spending Democratic Party than they do from Republicans, generally speaking. The exception is police unions. Okay, they favor Republicans. But all the other unions, my union, Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA, very liberal. Very pro-Biden. I'm a member, but I can't do anything about that. But that is the history. So Biden just drives on over to the Marriott Hotel in D.C., reads the words they've written for him, gets back in the car, and that's what he does today. Yesterday, the president and vice president were out in Virginia kicking off their campaign, and the main issue in the Biden administration, not the economy, not national security, not immigration, abortion. Go.
We have in Joe Biden a courageous fighter for our most fundamental freedoms as Americans, including, of course, the freedom to make decisions about one's own body and not have their government tell them what they're supposed to do. And of course, today, that freedom is under profound threat.
Today in America, women are being turned away from emergency rooms, forced to travel hundreds of miles to get basic health care, forced to go to court to plead to help, to protect themselves and the ability to have children in the future. The cruelty is astounding.
But there's never a mention of the cruelty of destroying the fetus. Now, I'm not on a soapbox here. To me, this isn't a pro-life, pro-choice issue. This is a human rights versus civil rights issue. Okay, that's what abortion is to me. So human rights means that you destroy as few potential human beings as possible. Certainly, if a mother's life is in danger or catastrophic health, certainly that should be legal. Rape and incest, certainly. But you don't do unfettered abortion like Joe Biden. Anytime, any place, for anything, any reason at all. Reasonable limits, and this is what the Supreme Court ruled, should be placed on a destructive action, medical procedure, like abortion. Does that make sense to everybody? Secondly, if you are a Roman Catholic, as Joe Biden says he is, you know your religion says that all life is sacred. So therefore, it is your responsibility as a Catholic to save as many lives as you can. So how do you do that? You don't run out like Biden is and say, abortion anytime for any reason. That is 180 degrees opposite the Catholic philosophy. What you might do is say, we're going to invest in adoption, we, the federal government, and in counseling services to try to lessen the number of fetuses destroyed. That is the humane way. The communist and fascist societies embrace abortion, always have. They think it's noble. I get the feeling, and this might be unfair, that Kamala Harris thinks having an abortion is a noble thing to do. That's what I get the feeling. Now, Biden, it's a little bit different because he doesn't know what he's saying, and he has no belief systems at all. And I've said this before, and it might be unfair. I'm glad I'm not Joe Biden if there is a judgment day.
The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe, download now, The Truth.
Now, a lot of people have questions. We dealt with this yesterday on President Biden's mental condition, his capacity. And I told you yesterday, I went through this with my mother, who had early dementia. And I saw the progression where she basically lost the ability to remember most things and had no empathy at all, whereby before this, she was the most empathetic person on earth, my mother. It's hard to believe I'm her offspring. Anyway, I saw what dementia does to the human mind up close. I saw it. And I am applying that to Joe Biden's situation. I may be unfair and I may be wrong. So let's bring in Dr. Carol Lieberman, who has also discussed in detail Mr. Biden's mental state. She comes to us from Los Angeles. She does a 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4, of course, Eastern time, a Voice America Variety Channel program. It's voiceamerica.com. First of all, my assessment is that Joe Biden has early dementia. Am I wrong for saying that?
Not only aren't you not wrong, but I have been saying this since 2020, since he started running for president. And I said he had encroaching dementia. And I say this, I've never met Joe Biden, but I say this, you know, as a board-certified psychiatrist, board-certified in psychiatry and neurology, and also as a forensic psychiatrist, where I have had to testify about people and whether they are competent enough, like to sign wills or things like that. So it was clear to me, you know, back then, and surely it has become clearer over the years that he does, in fact, have dementia, that it's encroached even more. You know, it used to be a little more subtle where, you know, he had memory problems and he was emotionally volatile and things like that. But it was somewhat subtle compared to what we're seeing now, where he needs to be led around by an Easter bunny. Or he, every time he finishes reading the teleprompter, we know he's not going to know where he is. And so Jill comes running up there. I mean, all kinds of things have been happening that are making it clearer and clearer that he has dementia.
Do you see any kind of mental encroachment on Donald Trump? Because Haley's making some allegations in that area.
Yes, I think that's absolutely baloney because, you know, when you think about, first of all, he's a very intelligent man and so on. But when you think about what he is going through right now, you know, being sued and having all these indictments and all these things every which way, you know, all these different courts and all that. And at the same time, he's trying to run for president. I mean, it is amazing that he is able to have the faculties that he does now. You know, it's really sad that people say those kinds of things just because they're running against them. But it is absolutely not true.
Okay, so you haven't observed anything other than he misspeaks sometimes. And when he's tired, I've observed when he's tired, he gets a little foggy. But anybody over the age of 60 does. When we are looking at Joe Biden, there is a White House physician like you, a medical doctor. That physician is never going to tell the American people that Mr. Biden is impaired mentally, ever, in my opinion.
That's right. You know, I remember one of the exams that he had was like a colonoscopy, and they were looking at the wrong end. They should have been looking at his brain. Yes, they are. And there's something, he was saying something about his feet, and he's not considering that that could be related to dementia. But, you know, the thing is with Joe Biden, I mean, there are three main types of dementia. The most common is Alzheimer's. Then we have vascular dementia. And then there is something called Lewy body dementia. It's all about deterioration of the brain. And so what Joe Biden most likely has is vascular dementia, because he had vascular problems. He had brain bleeds. He has atrial fibrillation. So it seems like the most likely would be that his vascular system in his brain is compromised. And he should be having these things examined. I mean, you know, the longer he goes on.
Yeah, it should be absolutely a nonpartisan school of experts to go in to reassure the American people, but it's not going to happen. Hey, doctor, thanks very much. We appreciate it. If you notice anything when you're watching Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump that you feel is a little bit out there, please let us know. We appreciate your expertise very much. Okay, Hunter Biden. So Kevin Morris, the guy who gave him $5 million, probably more, took the Fifth Amendment 17 times when testifying recently in front of the House Oversight Committee. Okay, now, a lot of it is in the business area, but 17 times is a lot. And as you know, Hunter Biden himself is going to have to go in and testify, and I expect him to take the Fifth Amendment pretty much on everything, but I could be wrong. Georgia. Fannie is in trouble. Now, Fannie Willis prosecuting Donald Trump and about 19 other people for interfering in the 2020 Georgia election. She had a boyfriend or has one, Nathan Wade. She hired him as a special prosecutor, even though he didn't have any experience. Apparently, the two took vacations on the Georgia taxpayer dime. There's a messy divorce. Fannie is under fire. So a Senate Special Committee on Investigation is going to look into Fannie. The key here is Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, a Republican who has been MIA, missing in action. Now, he does not like Donald Trump, Governor Kemp. Doesn't like him. But the governor has got to seize control over this situation fast. Okay, I mentioned the LA Times is imploding. 20% of their newsroom fired yesterday, and they don't have anybody in it anyway. So this newspaper is far, far left. I mean, I can't even imagine. Here, look, there is a prosecutor out there in L.A. County named Gascon. He is setting violent criminals free all the time. All you have to do to go to L.A. and you see it. Okay, they endorse him, the L.A. Times. This week, they endorse him. Okay, it's just mind-boggling. I know what they say in the editorial. It's the MAGA people that are falsely accusing Gascon, when almost every professional prosecutor in his office has quit, saying the guy is just the worst. He's George Soros's buddy. So the LA Times, out of here. Not coming back. Good. And that'll happen to the others, too. You wait and see, just what like what's happened to late-night TV. Smart life. All right. Have you had enough? So say Biden wins the election. Ooh. A lot of people are going to say, maybe I should move to another country. So there is a survey from InterNations, 12,065 Americans living abroad now. Okay. Where are the top 10 places for expats? Here they are. Mexico. Okay, 90% of expats enjoy living in Mexico. It's close by, weather's decent, one of the most corrupt countries on the face of the earth. I could not live there. If you go there, you better have armed security. Number two, Spain, España. You got to know how to speak Spanish if you want to live in Spain, period. It's hot, H-O-T. Nice country. People are good. Not a bad place. Third, Panama. Why on earth would anybody live in that humidity in Panama? I would die after 3 days. Malaysia. I have been there. Muslim country. Nothing like the USA. Cheap to live there. I don't know how you would go there, though. Taiwan. One of the worst places I've ever been in my life is Taiwan. Jammed island, dirty, polluted. Nobody speaks English. They don't like you. Why? Thailand. Better. Beautiful country. Corrupt. Okay. Dangerous in places like Bangkok. You can live there very inexpensively. And they have a beautiful beach coastline on both sides. Costa Rica, same thing. Okay, beautiful country. A lot of narcotics coming into San Jose. Not safe in that city. Philippines, I have not been there, but I know people who live there. That is the most inexpensive place you can live if you're an American on Social Security or whatever it may be. Can live very well in the Philippines for not much money. Bahrain, not been there, but I've been to their cousin, Kuwait. There's nothing on earth that could get me to move to Bahrain. Portugal, number 10, nice country. Very, very calm, nice, under control. That's a place to check out. You want to leave? If you want to live abroad, here's what you check out. If you're like me, Ireland, Switzerland, Portugal. Got to spend a month in each. Those are the top three. This month in history, New Hampshire primary. Let's take a look back at who won, okay? So put it up on the screen. 2020, Trump won. Bernie Sanders. 16, Trump, Bernie Sanders. 12, Romney, Barack Obama. And those were the two that ran. 8, McCain, Hillary Clinton just beat Barack Obama. Okay, and of course, Obama beat her for the nomination. 4, George Bush the Younger running for re-election. John Kerry, that was the election. Bush won. 2000, John McCain won in New Hampshire, beat Bush and Al Gore, who was the Democratic nominee. 96, Pat Buchanan. Remember Pat? He's still around. Conservative commentator, worked for Reagan. He won the New Hampshire primary. And then Clinton won, and Clinton won the presidency. 92, Bush the Elder, okay? He won the primary, and then Tsongas from Massachusetts. Nobody even remembers Paul Tsongas. So that went nowhere. 88, Bush the Elder, Michael Dukakis, and that was the race, okay? That was it. And 84, Ronald Reagan won the New Hampshire primary against Gary Hart. Remember Gary Hart? He was smoking until Donna Rice showed up. Google it. This day in history. Okay, we got good mail. We got a final thought on people who are irrational. You know them. How do we deal with them? Right back. All right, let's go to the mail. Linda Lapp, Burlington, Vermont. Bill, I know you have repeatedly said Biden will be running against the economy and the fact that everything has risen in price. But the AARP Bulletin has an article that states the economy is pretty well. They report prices are up, but inflation is falling. The AARP Bulletin is read by millions of people. Do they believe this? Most of them do. AARP is very liberal. Very, very liberal. That's why we have AMAC to counter that. I think you should get both, because you get discounts and all kinds of stuff. Concierge member John, check out concierge membership. It will enhance your life, and you'll make money from the membership rather than. Bill, my mother had Alzheimer's. I tried to keep her home, but was ordered to put her in a nursing home. I visited her 6 times a week for 6 years before she passed. She was on a dementia floor of the nursing home, so I know what that looks like. Joe Biden has dementia. David Hummerkhaus, Visalia, California. Since both Doug Schoen and Chris Cuomo think Michelle Obama's chances of running are very slight to never, I suddenly had a horrifying thought. What if Biden will put Newsom as his running mate? Impossible. Biden's not going to dump Kamala Harris at this point. It's impossible. Lloyd, yes, the federal government holds supremacy over border enforcement, but it also must protect each state from invasion. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California being invaded by illegal immigrants. Therefore, Governor Abbott of Texas is correct. He may be in theory, but he's not under the Constitution. And that's just that's the conundrum word of the day. Tim Hanna of Moseley, Virginia. I checked out missingmoney.com after your Smart Life segment, O'Reilly. I found money that was mine. I got my check yesterday with interest. I don't have enough to retire, but I do have enough to buy 7 or 8 sandwiches at your local deli. That means you got a hefty check. Sandwiches at my local deli are up. Dave Grove, Palmer, Alaska. Mr. O, new subscriber. I never recently found a more balanced offering of the news. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, a much needed resource. Well, Dave, I'm glad you're watching us up there in Alaska. Very important you get accurate information, Smart Life information. Very important. Okay, and you're wasting your time on the people who go, well, we have to wait and see. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Okay, Killing Crazy Horse. We have it on sale for $12.95 for a limited time. We brought it back because of the demand for it. This is a book about the Indian Wars. You will like it, $12.95. BillO'Reilly.com store. Word of the day, do not be terse. T-E-R-S-E. Don't be terse. All right, final thought on irrational people. In a moment. Final thought of the day. You know, we all know delusional people don't live in a real world. And most of those people, some of them are substance abusers, and some of them are emotionally damaged people. And we really have to be compassionate. A lot of people make the conscious decision, I don't care. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. And even if all the evidence goes against what I want to believe, I'm still going to believe it. What do you do with these people? That can get very painful if they're family members. Leads to divorce, estrangement with children. What do you do when facts don't matter? When you cannot have a conversation to persuade because the person doesn't want to be persuaded and is not going to consider anything counter to what that person wants to believe. What do you do? The answer is there's nothing you can do. Now, if it is a family member or a close friend, don't give up, but you got to back off a little bit and do it more with humor. Okay? If it's not a close person, I wouldn't waste my time on it. You know, I would be polite, but if the person is not going to be persuaded, I am Mr. Fact. I back up everything, not only in my professional life with you on the No Spin News and BillO'Reilly.com, but in my private life, if I make a statement or I'm debating, okay, I'm bringing in the facts right in front of your face. You'd be surprised. Maybe I don't care about the facts. Don't care. Final thing. I had a very lively debate with Sean Hannity on the radio today. I mentioned it about whether Trump should debate Nikki Haley. I think you should listen to that because I think I persuaded Hannity. He's denying it, but where do you see the tone of voice? It's really interesting. All right, Hannity will consider the facts. He will. I wouldn't be on his program if he didn't. Okay, thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you again tomorrow.